only happiness. Ben, the outcast son of a rich rancher of Tule Lake, and he, the wandering, fugitive, crippled gunman whom Ben had taken in with only one question.
"Where are you from?"
Ben had asked.
"Nevada,"
had been the reply, and that had been the only name by which Ben had ever known him. It was all over now. Nevada dismounted from his wet and heaving horse.
"Well, Baldy," he said, throwing the bridle, "here we are. Reckon the runnin's about over."
And he sank heavily upon the porch step, pushed his sombrero back to run a hand through his wet hair, smoothing it away from his heated brow. He gazed across the lake toward the dots on the far gray slope, the dots that were the cabins and barns of the Blaine Ranch. With the wrench which shook him then, the last of that icy nausea, that cold grip from bowels to heart, released its cramping hold and yielded to the softening human element, Nevada. It would have been better for him if that sinister fixity of mind had not passed away, because with its passing came a slow growing agony.
"I reckon I can't set him open like an owl," soliloquized Nevada, getting up. "Sure, the thing's done, and I wouldn't have it otherwise. Dear old Ben."
But he could not just yet enter the cabin where he had learned of the glory of friendship.
"He was the only pard I ever had, except a hoss or two. Well, Ben's name's cleared now, thank God. Old Amos Hyde knows the truth now, and he'll have to beg forgiveness of Ben. Gosh, how good that'll be. But Ben, he'll never rub it in on the old gent. He'll be soft and easy. Hart Blaine'll know, too, and he'll have to come round to the boy. They'll all have to crawl for calling Ben a rustler. Ben'll marry Ina now, and he'll be rich. He's got California Red, too, and he'll be happy."
From the lake, Nevada gazed away across Forlorn River, over the gray sage hills so expressive of solitude, over the black ranges toward the backcountry, the wilderness whence he had come and to which he must return. To the hard life, the scant fare, the sordid intimacy of crooked men and women, to the border of Nevada, where he had a bad name, where he could never sleep in safety or wear a glove on his gun hand. But at the moment, Nevada had not one regret. He was sustained and exalted by the splendid consciousness that he had paid his debt to his friend. He had saved Ben from prison, cleared his name of infamy, given him back to Ina Blaine, and killed his enemies. Whatever had been the evil of Nevada's life before he met Ben, whatever might be the loneliness and bitterness of the future, neither could change or mitigate the sweetness and glory of the service he had rendered. Nevada went into the cabin. He had expected to find it, as always, clean and neat and comfortable. The room, however, was in rude disorder. It had been ransacked by violent hands. The pseudo-sheriffs, who had come at the beck of Les Satter to arrest Ben, had not hesitated to stoop to thievery. They had evidently searched the cabin for money or anything of value. Nevada gazed ponderingly around on this disorder. "Well," he muttered grimly, "I reckon Les Satter won't be ramming around here any more, or any other place short of hell." With that remark, Nevada strode out and down the path to the corrals. There were horses in at the watering trough. He caught one, and securing pack saddle and packs, he returned to the cabin. Here he hurriedly gathered his belongings and food, blankets, ammunition. Then, mounting his horse, he drove the pack animal ahead of him and rode down to the shallow ford across Forlorn River.
"Sure, Ben will always keep this ranch as we had it," he mused. "And he'll come here often."
Hot tears fell from Nevada's eyes, the first he had shed since his orphaned boyhood, so dim and far away. It was no use to turn his eyes again to the little gray cabin half hidden among the trees, for he could not...